We have reached the last section of the introduction. The final one of the side benefits that a person can get from having bitachon is Shabbatech b'Hashem sameach b'chol davar Hashem esavev alav. A person has bitachon in Hashem, rejoices in whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him. Gamim hu negativo. Even if it's something which is not natural for him, it's against his nature, he rejoices in that nonetheless. Mepnei shu boteach berukim, shiaseh lo rak et ma shehu tov avoro b'chol inyanav. Because he knows that whatever Hashem is sending his way, is something which Hashem knows him best, Hashem knows what his next step in avodat Hashem needs to be, and therefore he recognizes that this thing that's happening to me now must be what I need to do next, and he's happy to accept the challenge. כמו שעושה האם הרחמניה לבנה שרוחצת וחותרת אותו וקושרת אותו ומשחררת אותו מקשריו על כורחו, כמו שאמר דוד המלך עליו השלום, אם לא שיוויתי ודוממתי נפשי כי גמול עליי אמו כי גמול עליי נפשי. If you have a parent who you know loves you, and they've proven they love you again and again and again, and they say to you, son, I'm going to do something now, which I can't explain to you fully why it's beneficial, but do you trust me? Do you know from everything that we've done until now this is going to be good for you? And if the parent really has shown their trust in all the years, the child will say, okay, it doesn't seem to me like it's good, but I trust you. And then, for example, the parent takes the child to the dentist, and he just takes out a big drill, and they start drilling away, and the child is looking to the parent and saying, you said you love me, what are you doing? You brought me to torture. But the child knows, he knows that it must be good for him somehow. Now, it's painful, it's not pleasurable, but if his mother's standing there, if his father's standing there and looking and like saying, it's okay, then the child knows that it must be that it's good, because his parent's not bringing him for torture. So he understands that's what must happen. And sometimes the parent will take the child to do something which is challenging, some test they have to do, they have to overcome something, and they'll say, like, why do I have to go through this? But they recognize it's good. In the same way, when you do, let's say, a driving test, or a written driving test, a theory test, I don't know, right, you know it's hard, and you know you're being tested, but you recognize there's a benefit to it. So you're willing to go through that test, which is annoying, but you're going to go, because you can see there's going to be a benefit to it, if you trust the system. If you don't trust the system, you understand, like, why are they making me do this? This is a waste of time. And you'll think it's just annoying. But if you trust the system and they know what they're doing, they've got a lot of research that's been put into this to know this is a good test, which is going to make sure that they're a safe driver on the road, you're willing to invest in it. The more you think in your life about what Hashem has done for you, and the more you think in history about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for Bnei Yisrael, and the more you recognize how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, then when something comes your way, which you don't really understand, but you've already gained the trust in Hashem, and you live your life on the level where anything that comes your way, you smile to yourself and you say, let's see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in store for me now. You know that it's good. Doesn't mean it's easy. It might be challenging, but you're not afraid of challenge. You're not afraid of challenge because you know that everything Hashem says to you is your next step in Avodat Hashem. So when it's easy, you say, thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll do the best I can with a comfortable life. And when it's hard, you say, thank you Hashem, I'll try and override the challenge, and I'll live up to this challenge that you've sent me. In the same way as someone who is, let's say, mastered a skill. Or let's say you've been practicing a particular skill. It could be in a sport, it could be in a game. You've been practicing a skill, and you've been practicing, and now, everyone can think of their own sport or game that they like, you've got this skill down really well. And then someone says, okay, let's see you in this skill. And they say, okay. And they go, I've got competition for you. You go, I can take it. And they give you a six-year-old kid. Now, whatever skill, whatever game you've been practicing, you're looking at this kid and saying, that's not fair. Like, I'm not going to be able to show you my talent against a six-year-old child. Like, it's just going to be a pathetic little interaction. It's not going to be, give me a world champion. Let me show you that, like, I know this skill very well. I've practiced well. You won't be happy with the fact that it's easy. You'll be upset that it's easy. You'll say, no, give me someone hard. Give me a challenge. I don't want it to be easy. I want to prove myself. Someone's bitachon recognizes that Hashem is always sending him the exact challenge of where he's up to. You practice. Hashem won't send you someone pathetic to come your way because you won't be able to prove yourself to that. Hashem won't send you someone way above you because it's not a fair challenge. Hashem will always be sending you in your life exactly the challenge of what your next step is. If you don't have bitachon on Hashem, you won't recognize him. And you'll say, Hashem, why are you giving me this hard thing? and you'll miss the opportunity to prove yourself. You'll miss the opportunity to grow because you complained about it. But if you recognize this is exactly what I need, Hashem is sending me the exact place where I am to prove myself and take the next step, then you've got a gift from Hashem. If you trust in Him and you recognize that, you've got a gift, you'll overcome the challenge, you'll prove in yourself, you reach the next level. You take a step forward. That's my entire life. The entire life is a game. You finish one level, you reach the next level. You finish one level, the next level. If you realize that you're playing the game, and you realize that each level is going to be a harder challenge, doesn't mean you're going to suffer, Chazron, but it means you've got something, Hashem's going to send you something new your way. It could be the challenge in the learning that you're doing, it could be the challenge in the interactions with people that you have, it could be a challenge in your tefillah that you have. There are many different arenas which Hashem may send you. But if you don't recognize it as a game, and you're just like, oh, I don't want to play, you give up, then you're not going to get anywhere. If you recognize that's the purpose, taking a new challenge, you'll accomplish some way b'tochon. That was the end of the introduction, and now he's just giving an opening to what the seven next chapters are going to be. I'm not going to read the whole thing now, we'll do each one as we get to it. Starting chapter 1. Chapter 1 is a one paragraph definition of what b'tochon is. B'tochon, mahut ha-b'tochon hi. Chapter 1 of Shaar B'tochon. Mahut ha-b'tochon hi. Menuchat ha-nefesh shel ba'al ha-b'tochon. It's an inner calmness that a person with b'tochon has. It's a state. It's not an action. It's a state of inner calmness that a person has. V'shiyel libo samuch al mishuhu boteach alav. And he is someone who he recognizes that he has he that he can trust, and he places in trust in Hashem. Everyone trusts. Trusting is a basic human built-in need. You can't live without trusting. Someone who suspects and is skeptical of everyone and everything in his life, he just shuts down. You have to have trust in something. Some people will place their trust in their teachers, their rebbeim, in their parents. Some people will place their trust in an ideology. They take an ideology and they believe in it. It could be an ideology of something like very large, like democracy or communism. It could be an ideology of something like more local, like a particular wisdom. It could be like a wisdom of psychology. It could be something of a particular charity that they're involved in, and their whole life is like, I live my life according to the rules and principles of this, and I trust in that. As long as I'm doing that, then I'll be fine. Finally, people often trust in things that are less logical. Like if you say to someone, did you go to the doctor? Yes. What did he say? Gave me a diagnosis. Do you believe it? It sounds pretty good. I'm not sure though. And then he goes to an energy healer. An energy healer. What qualifications does energy have? I don't know. But he's an energy healer. He does cool things. And what did he say? He said this about me. Whoa! It's definitely true. This is what he said, the energy healer. So people's trust isn't always a logical thing. People will put far more faith in alternative medicine, sometimes, not all people, but some people will put far more faith in alternative medicine, which has no backing and no proof that it's legitimate, they will in a standard regular doctor system which has proven itself time after time. So people have faith not always in the most logical things, but they're always putting their faith in something. They're trusting in something. They're trusting in the shopkeeper, they're trusting in the doctor, they're trusting in the lawyer. People are putting faith. Now, faith is a healthy thing if you're channeling it in the right direction. And the ultimate faith ultimately comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning you're trusting the doctor can heal you ultimately because you recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the power to doctors to heal. And if you're trusting in someone else, it's because you recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the trait of trust, reliability. Ultimately it's emanating from Hashem. So the middle of B'tochon is a menuchas ha-nefesh that a person has, the calmness that a person has, where a person has able to rely on who he trusts in, shehu oseh et mashu tov v'nachon avuro. And when a child is born and grows up, the natural default state of the child is trust. Unless people start ruining that. If parents aren't yashar, or if teachers aren't honest, then a child's natural trust can be broken. And he can learn not to rely on that sense of trust. And he'll go through his life. I was a terrible thing that I heard. I was once in a lift with someone from a particular background, and he started telling me the story of his life. And there were four times in his life where he placed in trust in someone, and in a major, major way, his trust was not relied upon. One time it caused the death of his wife. One time it caused the loss of all of his family's inheritance. The other two times I don't remember what they were. But I'm saying major things. Huge things. Now a person like that, it would be very logical if they would go and, you know, buy a new house and there would be a contract and they wouldn't rely on the person writing the contract. It was very logical. They would take it to a lawyer and they wouldn't trust that lawyer, they'd take it to a second lawyer. And this person told me that when his father, who was involved in all the stories, bought an apartment in Israel, then he took the contract to four different lawyers. And he didn't tell each one that he was going to the other one. And only when each one had said the same things the other one had said, then he went and bought the apartment because he didn't trust anyone in the world. And it makes sense. A person's natural state is trust. But if they lose it, if people mistreat them again and again, my wife's grandfather, he was on the run on the Holocaust. And one, Baruch Hashem, he managed to escape. The family managed to escape, but they were running throughout the Holocaust, escaping. You can't imagine what the life that was. You can't imagine people's days, but the life of the Holocaust, my wife's great uncle was born in a barn in the middle of nowhere in France when they were in hiding. Like, it's the craziest thing they possibly imagined. So when he was running, at one point there was someone else who he trusted, and he had sold everything and put it into diamonds, and he had diamonds with him, that's what he took with him to restart his life. And he gave the diamonds to someone to watch after, and they ran away with the diamonds. And for the rest of his life, he was hard for him to trust people. And he used to say in his accent, "Schwindlers, they're all schwindlers." Schwindlers. Schwindlers. From Yiddish. Schwindlers. Everyone is schwindlers. And you understand, like someone who puts their entire life's trust in something and someone mistreats them, you understand. But the natural state of man, the natural state is to trust. And when a person puts trust in people and they mistreat him, he could lose that natural sense. But if he recognizes the ultimate trust is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu never mistreats him. Everything that Hashem ever sends him is always beneficial. Even if it's difficult, but it's always beneficial. So when your trust is in someone human, then it's fallible. It's not eternal. It's not infinite. You're taking a risk. So you take a chance. And you say, well, this parent or this Rebbe or this friend seems to be to me a trustworthy person. I'll trust in them. And hopefully it will work out. And it most likely will. But you never know. But when you trust in a Kodesh Baruch Hu is infinite. You're placing your trust in someone who you'll never ever lose out from. You're placing your trust in someone who you know is doing good and benefit for you. But we're not talking yet about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But when you're trusting in someone, so long as that person understands, and as long as that person has the power, then you'll be able to trust them more and more. If you trust in someone who really cares for you, sometimes you have a grandmother who really cares for you, but doesn't have a clue what's going on in your life. Doesn't have a clue, really. So you trust in her that she cares, but you don't trust in her that she's able to help. She says, if you're ever in trouble and you need help, give me a call. You say, okay, thanks, Grandma. Like, what are you going to do if you're stuck somewhere in the middle of nowhere? You're going to call her, Grandma, I'm stuck on the side of the road, my car broke down. What should I do? I want to help you. I'll call someone. Like, she's not going to help. So you trust in her in the sense that she cares for you. There's nothing she can do. And you could put your trust in someone who's very powerful. They have a lot of ability, but they don't care about you. They're not going to trust them either. The more the person is powerful, and the more the person you realize cares about you, the more you're able to put your trust in them. Achaikar, asher mikocho nikba bitachon b'leiv ha'adam, v'shibiradav ein lebitachon metziut, הוא שיהיה ליבו בטוח שמי והוא בוטח בו יקיים את מה שאמר. So one is that they care about you. There's three conditions. One is that they care about you. One is that they have the power. And one is they're faithful. Could be someone cares about you and they have the power, but they're not so faithful. They care. They care, but they're distracted. They're busy. They're always involved in other things. Afterwards they'll apologize to you. They really care about you. They have the power to you, but they're never there when you really need them. Not that they don't care, they care, but they're just so busy, they're involved in other things. I feel like I'm like that with my kids. I care about my kids, I'm able to help my kids, but at the end of the day when they need help with math homework, I come and they've already finished doing their homework. And it's like, Abba, I needed your help today. I said, I'm sorry, I was learning, trusting and Hashem with the boys. They go, but Abba, we need you. I said, okay, I'll try and come earlier tomorrow. And they lost trust, they lost their faith. Because you never come back, you always must say they were the boys, you never come back on time. So they know that I love them. And they know that I can help them with math homework. But they've lost trust in me because I'm never around when they actually leave me. It's not always true. Sometimes I help them in the afternoon break, but often it depends which time they come home. So the main factor that you need is that the person is going to, not just they trust them, not just that they care for you, and not just that they're able to, but at the end of the day, they're going to be there for you when you need it. שמישהו בוטח בו יקיים את מה שאמר ויעשה את מה שהבטיח ואף שיעשה לו טובות כאלה שלא הבטיח לו ולא יתחייב לסתם ותורן הדבר וחסד. So when you have those three factors, then you're able to have ביטחון in someone. It's a natural given emotion. You will trust. But who is it worthwhile trusting in? Those three factors. They care for you, they're able to help you, and they see through on it. Definition of ביטחון. והגורמים שבגללם יהיה אפשר לאדם לפתוח בבני אדם אחרים הם שבעה. There are seven factors which enable you to put your faith in them, to put your trust in them. These are the seven factors which we're now talking about humans, other people. We're going to see as we go through the list of seven, it's going to get more and more hard to find people who can fulfill those criteria. And you're going to recognize that ultimately the only person you can really trust in is Hashem. There are people you can trust in on the level 1, level 2, level 3, but you see it gets out of the realm of regular people at some point. And then you recognize you can only trust in people to a certain degree, and ultimately you can only really trust in Hashem. Gorem echad hu arachamim va'ava v'achemla. Like we just said beforehand, someone who loves you, someone who cares for you, someone who's considerate. Yikasher adam mevchin v'chaver shu merachem v'chomer alav hu botech bo. When you're sensitive to someone, so they care about you. When you see someone who seems to be affectionate towards you, you'll say, okay, that's someone I can rely upon. That's someone I can trust in. Like for example, let's say you're in the middle of nowhere, in a different foreign country, and you meet someone and you see that they speak the same language as you. You're from one country, they're from the same country. Oh, we're the same. And that doesn't mean anything necessarily. Could be you're the same, but they'll ignore you. But then they say to you, oh, you're from some Springfield. I'm also from Springfield. Let's stick together. And you say, oh, we have a connection. He cares for me. We have something in common. I'm going to trust in this person because I already see that we have some bond. We have something that he likes me. Why does he like me? Something technical. It doesn't matter what. We happen to be from the same town. We have some connection. Whatever it is, but he likes me. I can trust in him. That's factor number one. ולבו סומך עליו, שימלא כל בכתב שהוא מטריח אותו בהם. And you feel like you can go to him, you need help, you can move, someone moves into a new community. Who can you rely upon? I don't know who can you, but someone comes to your house and they bring you a cake. Say, oh, this is a person, he's a friend. Okay, when I'm stuck with something, I don't know in this town how you connect to electricity, I don't know in this town where you go and buy certain things, that's fine, I'll go. This person brought me cake, obviously cares. I'll go to them, I'll ask them, there's someone I can rely upon. הגורם השני, שמכיר את חברו שמחמת אהבתו, לא רק שלא מצליח אותו ממנו, ולא מתעצל למלא את משרותיו, אלא גם משתדל למוחד לסדן. Sometimes you have a person who you see cares, but is often busy. But if you see the person going out of their way to help you, then you say, okay, that's the person I can really rely upon. Not only does he care when I go to ask him for help, but he calls me up. And he's asking, is there anything you need? Is there anything I can do for you? That's really considerate. Sometimes the person's having a simcha. Sometimes the person's having a simcha and someone says, oh yeah, if you need any help, give me a call. Which means they say, don't call, but I'm happy for you that you're having a simcha. That's kind of what they mean. If you need any help, give me a call. And they keep walking. But sometimes they phone you and they say, I know you're having a simcha. On Friday morning I have free time. And I have a car. Is there something specific that I could help with on Friday morning when I have the car available? I have 3 hours spare. I know you have a simcha that Shabbos. Is there anything I can do for you? And there you know they're serious. They're not just throwing out. They have a time. They have an offer. You're likely to take up on it. The first person is very unlikely that you'll say, are you available Friday morning for 3 hours to drive guests back and forth? Very unlikely. The second person you'll say, he really wants to help. He's not just saying in general, I'm around. He's saying specific things. That was a guideline, by the way. You're all going to be Bez Hashem people in a community. You're all going to want to offer help. You may think to offer help in a general way, and it's not worth so much. But if you can think to yourself, what could they potentially need now? And you think very easily, what can I offer? And you go to them and you say that line, this is what I can do to help. I have daughters who are able to babysit, will that help you? My wife is making food for Shabbos, she can make double. That you don't even need to ask, that you can just make and give them. If they don't use it then, they'll use it later. That you can just be free on. I have a car. Think of very specific things that you can do and offer them in a way of like, I want to do this. You'll be helping me out because I've already designated a time for this. I'm not putting myself in that time. I wanted to give it to you. That type of person you feel you can trust in much more. Ki kol ot shezeh lo barur lo mitzat chavero. So when your friend says to you, hey, if you need any help, call me, but you're not really sure they mean that. So ein lo bitachon malei. You don't really trust them if they want to help you because they said it too generally. Because you know he said that because he was forget by the next day. It happens to me where people often help in things. They've even written me emails. They want to do such and such, want to help out in a certain way. And then when I go back to them, they're like, oh yeah, but some excuse. I meant that with different conditions and at a different time. And I understand. Meaning a person maybe sometimes have a moment of inspiration. At a time of inspiration, they really want to help. But then when they kind of are grounded and more, and they regret it. And they don't want to do it. And I could go to them and say, I have an email you said. I'm not making a fuss here. I don't want to create enemies. If you want to help, help. If you don't want to help, don't help. But people sometimes do want to help slightly. They say big promises. Omer mi'at v'aseh. Omer harbeh v'aseh mi'at. Now the opposite of what the Mishnah says. They say a lot and they do very little. And then you respect them. You say, okay, so you don't want to help. You don't trust them so much. You won't call them up at the last minute and say, oh, you promised to help because you know they don't really mean they want help. That person trusts them. Ach, asher barul la'adam. When it's clear to you, sheyesh mishu boteach bo, when it's very clear to you that this guy actually wants to help you, he says to you, specific time, specific way, you know that for him he means it. You can trust on him. All because of that example, or because he's helped you in the past, and he's like helped you in a big way, and he's seen through on what he said. Then, the haino sheyesh lo rachmanut, v'hu mashgiach mod al yanav, and bli safek koroi liftoch bo. So those first two aspects are true even in human beings. Those two are true in Hashem, and they're true in human beings. As we get through with Hashem in the next few days, the other factors we're going to see the things which are going to be harder and harder for humans to do, and then you're going to recognize eventually that ultimately your faith can only be in Hashem. But al derech agav, we also learned a message for the future. If you want to do chesed for other people, be very specific, think what you can do, and offer very unique, specific things.